July 1937, the world's most famous woman pilot disappears during her attempt to circumnavigate the globe. In 1988, the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, a small nonprofit known by its acronym TIGER, began a science-based investigation of the Earhart disappearance. Decades of forensic research and a dozen South Pacific expeditions have now produced hard evidence from multiple disciplines to provide the long-sought answer to the riddle. In this series of conversations with Joan Sachs, TIGER Executive Director Rick Gillespie takes us step by step through the adventures, the setbacks, and the discoveries that uncover the evidence that has solved aviation history's greatest mystery.
Hi, I'm Joan Sachs. Like many of you, I've read newspaper and magazine articles and watched television documentaries about TIGER's adventures and discoveries. As a member of TIGER, I've participated in research, and I know there's so much more to the story that's never been told. I've known Rick Gillespie and his wife, TIGER co-founder Pat Thrasher, for many years, and so when Rick asked me to help him bring the behind-the-scenes story of TIGER's Earhart expeditions to the public, I enthusiastically agreed. Over the years, there have been 12 TIGER expeditions to the South Pacific, and we've organized the podcast into 12 seasons. The episodes in season one tell the story of the first trip in 1989. Season two deals with the next expedition in 1991, and so on. To follow the progress of the investigation, you'll want to listen to the episodes and seasons in order. For newcomers, we make it easy to catch up with the story so far by publishing a compilation at the end of each season. Now, let's get to the next episode. Hi, Rick. Last time we talked, you had just come back from a secret expedition that didn't quite turn out the way you had thought.
Well, that expedition had not gone the way we thought it was going to. We hoped that we would be able to find this tank that a Coast Guard veteran had told us about that was supposed to be, or we hoped it was, a fuel tank for the Earhart Electra. And if it turned out that that's what it was, that would mean the airplane was right there in the water off that part of the reef. And we didn't want that information to get out until we were ready to go back to do a recovery. You know, for reasons of security,
sure,
for the artifacts, we'd have to keep that quiet. So we did this expedition quietly, a black operation. But we did find the tank, but it wasn't an electrofuel tank. And it was just a steel water collection tank from the abandoned village. Apparently nothing to do with Earhart. That was kind of a bust. But we did recover a couple of artifacts from the abandoned village that were really interesting. A little piece of plexiglass found in the abandoned village that matched the curvature, thickness, material, color, every aspect of Lockheed part number 40332 or whatever the number is. It was the cabin windows from a Lockheed Electra, which we could prove that that's what it was, but it looked like it very well might be. And we found a couple of radio cable connectors that were from the Wright era, hard to explain. So we had a couple of good artifacts from that trip. But the basic reason for the trip, this tank thing, turned out to be a big disappointment.
Darn.
So we get back in the early spring of 1996, and we're ready to proceed with the planning for the NICU 3 expedition, the one we'd been planning for some time.
Not secret,
very public. And it was planned for that coming year, 1997, which would mark the 60th anniversary of Earhart's disappearance and the 100th anniversary of her birth.
Oh, wow.
And if there was ever a time to solve the mystery, you know, as we said on all our publicity, once and for all, we're gonna solve this. This was the year to do it. And we made this big commitment to mount a big expedition and assemble the logistics and the team and the technology and the media coverage and, of course, the funding. We had two project supporters who had made pledges totaling nearly $200,000, which
a good start.
And gave us an excellent start toward putting together the estimated $1 million budget for the major operation for the next, the fall of 97 that we were planning on. And we told everybody about this. So we're going to do this. We put a lot of publicity, all this great evidence. So in May of 96, I get a call from Nova, the television series, the science series, WGBH Boston Public Television, very well-respected major documentary. And they said, we might be interested in doing a show about the Earhart mystery and feature your work in it. And we understand you're planning on doing an expedition next year and we'd want to come along and shoot video for that. So we want to talk about that. Can you come up to Boston and we'll discuss it? So sure. Yeah. So we go on up to Boston and we have a meeting with all the production people at Nova. And they said, well, the first thing we're going to have to do is an investigation of our own to see if your evidence is good, if your evidence meets our high standards before we're going to commit to doing a show with you. We're going to take 3 months to, we're going to do this the whole summer, June, July, August. We're going to really dig into this and we'll need your full cooperation. But if at the end of that time, we decide that you really have the goods on this, we will enter into a contract with you. Now, understand, we're not going to pay anything for the exclusive rights. We don't do that. But we will pay our pro rata share of the expedition costs, and we'll give you a share of the videotape sales afterward, because we're going to make a videotape of this show after it airs, and it'll be a popular show, and we figured that what they were proposing would net us probably $50,000. They also said that they wanted to cover the expedition live on their internet website, which is a new thing.
Oh, wow.
In 1996. Yeah, we're talking. And we weren't at all comfortable with that idea. Mm-hmm. We said, we don't like that. Because you're going to be, there's no way we can keep anything secret. We can't control the release of information if it's all being broadcast live on your website.
Right.
But these are all things that we can work out in a contract. We don't need to worry about that yet. That's the way we left it. They were definitely interested in looking into the possibility of maybe doing a show about us.
How did that go?
Well, for the next 3 months, I felt like I'd been nominated for a seat on the Supreme Court.
Oh, jeez.
Constant grillings about evidence and sources. And they rounded up critics to debate me. And they set up these conference phone calls. And I'd go back and forth with somebody who thought we were full of beans. And they would would participate in all that. I had to defend every aspect of everything we'd ever said. And we did that because, God, you know,
what an opportunity.
We're going to have a show on Nova. I mean, that's top drawer, man. So in August, I get a letter from the boss at WGBH Nova saying that, we're going to go ahead with this. We really like what you've done. And I'll immediately have our legal department send a contract that we can look at and negotiate.
Cool.
Get that going. Okay. Looks like, this is looking good, man. We got to have a ship, though. And we did not yet have a ship. We investigated 11 possible ships that we could use, and nothing suitable was available for our desired September-October 97 time period. November looked like a possibility, But then NOVA decided that they would prefer that the expedition happen early in 1997.
Oh, am I?
Well, I'm not sure why they thought that, but that's when they wanted to do it.
Programming thing?
Yeah, I guess. But we were a bit concerned because we knew that that time period is in the Central Pacific's cyclone season. It's like hurricane season.
Right.
Now, we had been out there the previous year for the 1996 trip in February. So we're talking roughly the same time period. And we didn't have any problem.
But you had, how many of you were there then?
There were seven of us on that trip.
It's a small expedition.
And we were only there for
a short time.
We were a very short time, three days on the island.
This would be way different exposure.
This would be way different. On the other hand, Nicomoraro is in kind of a benign weather area. The big cyclones rarely hit there directly. So we thought,
that comforting.
we'll probably be okay. So with things going so well, we have NOVA on board, which we figured is going to really help with the fundraising.
Yes.
We decided to use the 223-foot University of Hawaii Oceanographic Research Vessel. Its full name is Ka'imikai Okanaloa, which for understandable reasons is usually simply known as KOK. Great ship. And we're going to have a 46-day expedition that would give us a full month on the island.
Wow.
And we'd, of course, be staging out of Honolulu, where the ship is based. But we're going to need all of that projected $1 million budget.
Yes.
This is going to be a very expensive expedition. NOVA also insisted that we provide some way for them to get aerial views of the island, aerial video of the island.
Oh my, well, this is before drones.
This is way before drones. We'd experimented a little bit with kite aerial photography. But although you can get some good still shots from kites, video from kites is a great way to make yourself airsick just watching it. So it meant equipping the expedition with an ultralight aircraft on floats.
Wow.
That's a major expense and a major complication. But two of our team members were familiar with ultralights and said, yeah, we can do that. We can get ourselves an ultralight and put it on floats. And yeah, we can do that.
Wow.
All right, good. So we're going to have an airplane. Wow. By the September of 1996, Tiger Tracks, we thought we had everything set. I mean, this is once and for all, man. NICU 3, it's going to be a 20-person team. There's going to be a NOVA film crew. And we're going to depart Honolulu in late January aboard KOK. And we're going to do a survey of the abandoned village, detailed archaeological survey of the village. We're going to do a lagoon search using electromagnetic sensors on a small launch. And it was going to be guided by GPS to get absolutely accurate transects. And of course, we're going to do an aerial survey and video of the island from the ultralight aircraft. And then we're going to go to that site where we found the shoes.
Right.
And we're going to do a detailed archaeological excavation there and see what more we can find. So, big plans. The next month in October of 96, we went to the Alcoa aluminum plant in near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, for their engineers to do an analysis of our piece of airplane skin, artifact 22V1, that we thought was probably from the Earhart aircraft. And NOVA came along and filmed that. They had their cameras there and so forth. Now, we still didn't have a contract with NOVA.
Oh.
They were supposed to get us something as soon as they made the decision to go ahead with it.
Right.
But there was we'll get to it. But we want to get this filming done. We want to get this filming done. So we're moving forward. The analysis of 22V1 went really well. They cut some huge chunks out of it and tested them. but came back and said, yeah, it's the right kind of aluminum. It's just what you would expect from the Earhart.
Right time period.
Elements in the alloy, in the aluminum, it makes up what was called at that time 24ST L-clad. Now it's called 2024, but still L-clad. Was right. The formula was right. This all looks good. It's the right kind of rivet. Huh. So everybody's happy. They're moving forward.
That's exciting.
And then both of our financial supporters backed out of their pledges.
No. Really?
Yeah. There were no hard feelings, but there was no money from them.
Oh, no.
So we turned to the Tiger membership and said, hey, look, we have a little setback here, but we need to keep looking for major funding, so help us keep going here. And they kicked in and made contributions, and they made it possible for us to continue to look for major funding, but we were coming up empty. I mean, we did dozens of proposals to corporations and foundations, and same response, nope. We can't do that. Now, getting in-kind support from technology companies proved to be pretty easy. Oh, we'll let you use our equipment. You can borrow this and you can use this,
right,
like our electromagnetic gear and metal detectors and
stuff.
That was fine.
Still, that doesn't get you there.
You gotta have the cash.
Yeah.
And without funding, there's not going to be an expedition. So here we are, you know, by mid-January of 97, the situation's desperate.
Really? What was your proposed date to leave?
Well, it had moved to late February.
But still.
But we're mid-January. We've got, if we're going to do any of this.
Did you have the boat?
We didn't have a boat. We didn't. And
so had the boat in mind, but no money on it?
Is that but they wanted their first payment coming up.
I mean,
they can't just hold it forever. And we felt like our credibility as an organization rested on our promise to do this expedition.
Sure.
But there was no money to do it with. On top of that, after 6 months of work and assurances, there's still no contract from NOVA.
What are they saying?
Well,
I mean, are they still positive about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're just, be patient. We'll get to it. And I said, look, guys, we've got to have a contract. But with our sponsors backing out and with nobody stepping up, using KOK was out of the question now. I mean, there's no way we can afford a ship that big.
Hmm.
We had to literally at the last minute reinvent the expedition.
After all that planning.
After all that, we had to find a more economical ship. We had to shorten the length of the charter, reduce the size of the team. Now, through our connection with the captain of the ship we had used on the 1996 trip, Carol Dunlap, we connected with American expat Rob Barrell, and he and his sister Alex owned Naya, which is, it's Hawaiian for dolphin.
Oh.
But Naya was a 120-foot motor sailor that did liveaboard scuba diving tours around the Fiji Islands. And Naya could accommodate 18 passengers in comfortable air-conditioned cabins. Gotta have air conditioning.
Yes.
As we learned. It was suitable for open ocean work. It had a water maker. It could carry enough fuel and provisions to handle the 1,000-mile each way trip from Fiji to Nikumaroro.
Wow.
Now, Rob had an opening in their schedule. They're very tightly booked, but he had an opening in the schedule in late February, early March, 97. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So by reducing the projected stay at the island from 1 month to 2 weeks, and by changing to a smaller, more economical ship, we were able to get the expedition cash budget down to $200,000.
But still.
May as well have been $2
billion.
Yeah. So I told NOVA, we got to have a contract, and we've got to have your pro rata share of the expedition costs. I've got a boat payment to make.
Sure.
Or we're not going to have a boat. So they finally set a contract. But it was very different than what we had talked about previous summer. There was no videotape share, and they insisted on having this live coverage on their website, which we really didn't like. And without the videotape share, the real money wasn't there.
Really?
And so we told them, I said, look, your proposed contract is not what we agreed to, and it is not acceptable. Okay. So we're in kind of a tense place with Nova.
Yeah, really.
Well, then
and had they advertised already that they were going to be part of it?
Oh, yeah. So nobody quite knew what was going to happen. Now, in a triumph of generosity over judgment, a member of our board of directors offered to loan the organization $100,000. Okay, suddenly we're halfway home to our new $200,000 budget. But we still had to find the other half.
Wow.
Well, earlier, ABC News had contacted me and expressed interest in this project and going on the expedition. And we had explained that, well, we're trying to conclude a contract with Nova. You know, we're already talking to Nova. And now with the situation critical and the negotiations with Nova kind of deadlocked, we told Nova that we're opening the door to other possible offers. And ABC offered to pay a $50,000 rights fee and share the footage that they got with Nova. But Nova, but Nova rejected that idea. They said, no, we're not going to share our footage with anybody. Now, we're not going to do that because a network like ABC can get a show on the air a lot faster than we can. And if they air something before we do, nobody's going to watch our show.
Right.
Well, then ABC said, if they don't want to do that, we'll partner with the Discovery Channel. We've talked to them. And they're interested in producing a show, too. So we'd partner with them. Would there be 2 one-hour documentaries, an ABC show on our network's Turning Point series, and the other would be a one-hour show on the Discovery Channel as a special.
Wow.
And each network would put up $50,000.
That's a good solution.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that ABC and Discovery are offering $100,000? That's the other half of our budget after we have the $100,000 from loan from the board member.
Yeah.
Now we've got an expedition. We can move forward with this with Naya and we're
and
good.
With terms that you like.
I went to New York and I met with ABC and I said, look, we're going to need a contract. They said, sure, here. Boom. You know, it was that quick. Huge sigh of relief. And we move into high gear. I told Nova, hey, sorry guys, we had a better offer. And we're going to go ahead with ABC and Discovery. Well, they said, we'll match their price and we'll drop the live coverage demand.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I said, no, I won't go back on my word. These people have made a good faith offer. There's paper on this. Nova said, hey, you do it with us, or we'll sue you for breach of contract.
Really?
I said, what contract? You guys never came up with an acceptable contract. They said, no, we have a verbal contract with you. I said, there's no such thing as a verbal contract.
Show me the signature.
Yeah, do whatever you need to do, but we're going ahead with this expedition. So the next thing that happens is the sheriff shows up at the door.
Oh, no.
With a lawsuit. Nova suing Tiger and me personally for over $100,000.
Oh, geez.
So what they're doing is they're trying to stop the expedition.
Yeah.
So we got a continuance and we went ahead and we did the expedition with ABC and we fought the case. And after 9 months and $8,000 in legal fees, Nova dropped the case. Now, the story for why they dropped the case is precious. Their contention was that we had a verbal contract with them. Well, at the same time this is going on, there's another historic aviation recovery project underway. There was a B-29 called Keybird that had been landed on a frozen lake in Greenland back in the early 1950s and was still sitting there in very good condition. And an air racing champion pilot named Daryl Grenemeyer announced that he was going to go up there, hang new engines on the B-29, and fly it out. He had a friend of his who was a filmmaker, and his filmmaker was going to film all this. The filmmaker went to Nova and said, hey, I'm going to film my buddy Daryl Grenemeyer flying this B-29 off the ice in Greenland. He's going to hang new engines. It's going to be a great show. Would you be interested in doing that, in airing the film I shoot? And Nova said, well, let us think about that. So Nova calls up Grenemeyer and says, hey, we're interested in your project, but we don't need this other guy. We'll work with you directly.
Oh, my God.
And so they cut a deal with Grenemeyer.
And he agreed to it?
And he agreed to it. And, of course, the filmmaker friend said, hey, Nova, we had a verbal agreement that you were going to work with me. And Nova says, no, there's no such thing as a verbal agreement.
Oh, jeez.
Verbal contract.
So who knew that? Like, who found that out so that...
Oh, wait, I found out all this later.
Oh.
After things had all shaken down.
Oh, jeez.
But what happened was Nova's attorneys said, look...
Pick you, one way or the other.
You can't have it both ways. You know, you got two lawsuits going on here. And the easy, you got to get rid of one of them. And the easiest one to get rid of is the one where you're the plaintiff.
Yeah.
So ABC agreed to pay Nova, like, was like $30,000 for their expense in doing the filming at Alcoa that they did. So that they had some compensation for the time they spent. And Nova agreed to drop the suit with Tiger. And that was the end of that. But good grief.
Really?
You know, the whole thing. So on February 20th, 1997, the Tiger team boarded a Air Pacific 747 bound for Fiji and Los Angeles, and we were off on Niku 3. Now, I had mentioned that our captain on the 1996 trip aboard Matangi Princess was Carol Dunlop. And Carol Dunlop's husband, the name's Dunlop, they're Scottish.
Of course.
And it turns out he was a piper. Oh. And he had a friend that was also a bagpiper. Now, my wife Pat and I are both ethnic Scots. And it is a long tradition that when Scots sail off to do great things, they're piped out. You know, in World War I, World War II, there were always pipers.
Way before that. Probably.
Oh, and way before that, probably for the Crimean War. And so here's an opportunity. We're going to be piped out of the harbor. And on February 22nd, we had pipers on the dock.
That is so fun.
No, it was very cool. Our hopes were so high for that trip. You know, we had beaten every obstacle put in our way, and it had seemed impossible, and yet here we were. We're on our way out. As we sailed out of the harbor there in Fiji, this was the fourth time the Tiger flag flew from the masthead of a ship bound for Nikumaroro. As we left the harbor, we passed the rusting hulk of Pacific Nomad, the ship that we had used on the 18.
Oh, really?
18, yeah.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, it had been 9 years, and she had been retired and just kind of parked out in the harbor, and we went right past her. No longer proud and fit, you know, she was just a rusty hulk. I wrote later, you know, as I said, as we slipped by with our graying hair and our reading glasses, she whispered to us of time, of mortality, and the false god glory. Oh, God. So there we were. We had no idea what we were in for.
Oh no.
Oh my God. But so, that's a tale for the next time.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing about that. Thank you, Rick.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. The Earhart Expeditions is a serial history of Tiger's 12 expeditions to the South Pacific. We release a new episode each Tuesday. You can receive special bonus episodes and get access to Tiger's extensive video library by becoming a premium subscriber. Just go to Patreon, that's Patreon, and search on Tiger, Tiger. You can also be a part of the adventure and participate in research. Go to tiger.org and click on Join Tiger. See you next Tuesday.